The text chosen for us today is the entire account of the flood, but I will simply read Genesis chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. This is the account of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, "I'm going to put an end to all the people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them." These are the words, "Heavenly Father, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth." Amen. Yesterday in chapel, Bill Bukowski stood over there and he started his presentation by saying, "I'm not sure it's safe for an art professor to take the podium in chapel." Well, I'm not sure it's safe for myself as a cultural anthropologist to tell an artist what he should paint next, but that's exactly what I'm going to do today. You see a three-part painting up here that was beautifully described and discussed yesterday, and I would like to see Bukowski paint another three-part painting having to do with the whole topic of the flood. So what should Bukowski put in those three panels that he needs to paint? Well, let's see if we can figure that out. Here was what was taking place. Our perfect God had created a perfect world, and he had created Adam and Eve as the crowning achievement of his creation. But they sinned, and sin was passed on to all people. And the world became totally corrupted in the years which followed. Our text says, "Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence." This was not partial corruption, and this was not sort of random acts of violence. Once before, God had been able to say that everything was very good, and now, behold, everything was very, very, very bad. It's so sad. But everyone was living in a kind of a dog-eat-dog world. There was total corruption. People were only concerned with themselves. They could care less about humanity. Compassion was gone. What's best for me? Hey, everybody, look at me. I'm number one. It's all about me. And this is the way the world had become, and God had had enough of that. And God determined to put an end to that world. And so what did he do? He told Noah to build a boat, by the way, about the size of a small aircraft carrier today. And on the three decks of this boat, there were to be all of the animals saved from destruction. So two by two, they came onto the ark, and the clean animals, there were more of them. And into that ark, there went Noah and his wife, and their three sons and their wives, eight people in all. And God closed up the door, and then a global cataclysm, the likes of which had never, ever been seen before or since, took place. And God opened up all of the deep parts of the earth, and the water came boiling up. And for 40 days and 40 nights, it rained down. And for 150 days, water covered all of the earth. Only Noah and those in the ark were saved. So getting back to Bukowski, what should Bukowski paint in that first panel? I would say he's got to somehow depict the awesome power and the justice and the perfection of God. And at the same time, he's got to show the corruption and the self-destruction and the damnation of mankind because of their sins. So that's going to be his first task. Now, what's he going to put in that second panel that he needs to paint? Well, I think he needs to paint a believer. And of course, I'm talking here about Noah. One of the most fascinating things about the account is that, speaking by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Moses wrote the books of Genesis, and when he comes to this portion of earth history, he doesn't call it the flood. He gives it a different title. He says, "This is the account of Noah." It's not the flood account, it's the account of Noah according to God. So what do we learn about Noah? Well, there are three things that our text tells us very clearly about this man of God. And the first thing is that he is a righteous man. Don't get me wrong, Noah was a sinner. But he was declared righteous because of his faith, because of his clinging to a promise and to one who was to come in future times. He was looking forward to the time when God would send the Savior into the world to live the perfect life that Noah and his family and all of the corrupt people on earth could not live, and yet this would be imputed to the people. And even as Noah had built an ark out of wood to save himself and his family and the animals, so he was looking forward to the time where the Savior would come and on the wood of a cross would take away the sins of the world through the shedding of his blood. It was on that basis that he was declared righteous, faith in the Savior, Christ Jesus. Secondly, our text tells us that Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time. He was a sinner, so he wasn't perfect and blameless in that sense. But what this means is that his private life was completely interconnected to his faith. And so you can see this man at home and how pious he was with his wife, and she was pious because of their interactions and their declaration of faith one back to the other. And think of the pious children they raised. Can't you see him as a man of prayer, of thanksgiving, of confidence, and how this worked its way out in his family life? And thirdly, what do we know about Noah? Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God. It's easy to walk with God when you're at church because everybody's sort of walking godly. But is it easy to walk with God when you are surrounded by the evils of this world? In his day, in the marketplace, and on the streets, and the highways, and the byways, with total corruption and sin, and yet he conducted himself as a Christian gentleman should. He professed his faith even when surrounded by an evil world of sinful mankind. So Bukowski is going to have to put this into a picture as well. What is a believer? A believer is a person who is declared righteous, one who is pious in his home, and one who has a public profession and conduct, which sort of displays to the whole world the faith that is therein. But we have one more panel that Bukowski's got to paint. So what's that going to be about? Well, here I hope that Bill Bukowski would paint a self-portrait of Bill Bukowski. And Ethan, you should be there too. And Katrina, you should be there. And Stefan, and Bradley, and Cassie. And right down, you remember that day where we walked out of chapel and we went over there onto the lawn, and there we had that big group picture? Wouldn't it be great if in that last panel, all of our faces were there? For we have much in common with Noah. He looked forward to the coming of the Savior. We look back at our Savior's accomplished task on Calvary's cross. We too are declared righteous through faith in Christ Jesus, our Lord and our Master. We too can have a life of piety and a public profession of our faith in the midst of evil surroundings, can we not? I said earlier that Moses wrote this account. And he didn't call it the account of the flood. He said, this is the account of Noah. Won't it be something in heaven where there is that eternal book of life, and we open and there is a chapter, and the chapter says, this is the account of, and there you put your name. And our prayer is very simple. May God grant that it is so. Amen. We sing the hymn. Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you peace. Amen.